We're a little over a month away from this fight in California. I see similarities between the two fighters. You both seem to have had an epiphany moment in your career when you realised what it's going to take to be a champion. I think for Kell, it was his first fight against Carson Jones. For you, I think I'm right in saying it was the Diaz fight in California. Can you tell us about that moment? Because since then, you've been quite prolific with your performance, haven't you?
Yeah, I think, you know, after that fight, obviously, I just had to take a huge step back and, you know, rededicate myself and, you know, work even harder than I have before. And I think now I'm starting to, you know, understand that hard work pays off. And that's why I continue to work so hard, you know, since that fight.
Is it just a case of being consistent with that sort of work ethic that you're speaking about there? Because all fighters will work hard when they're preparing for a fight. Is it often the times immediately after a fight where you had to adjust, where you just sort of keep it going and you're preparing almost for your next fight immediately after your previous fight?
Yeah, I think you hit it on the nail when you said your key word there is consistency and being consistent. You know, every day for me is hard work. And I wouldn't have it any way at this point in my career and in my life. Like you said, most fighters, they work hard when it's time to work hard. We work hard all the time. And like my dad always says, you stay prepared so you don't have to get prepared.
The welterweight division is in a good place right now, isn't it? It certainly seems to be where a lot of excitement is within the sport right now. What do you make of it?
Yeah, and that's why we made the move to 147. My dad saw the way, you know, the boxing world was starting to gravitate towards 147 and that the big fights were down there. And, you know, he came to me and he says, you know, we need to think about moving to welterweight. That's where the money is and that's where the big fights are. And, you know, a few years ago we decided to make that move and it's working out for the best right now for us.
You are trained by your father. You've mentioned him a couple of times there. Can you just tell us about that bond that you have with him? Has it always been pretty close between the two of you?
Yes, we've always had a close relationship, obviously. You know, he's my dad, so he's been there since day one. As far as the boxing goes, we work very close with one another. We're sleeping right next to one another in two separate beds right now in camp. And, you know, this is how we like it. This is how we want it. So we work hard. He works, he pushes me, and, you know, he keeps me ready.
How important are your roots to you? I noticed on your Twitter handle, it's very Cleveland-centric, isn't it? You're a big Cleveland Browns fan. You've been speaking a lot about LeBron James as well. I mean, how important is home to you?
It's important to me. I'm starting to understand that, you know, there's no place like home. You know, I've spent a lot of time away from home. And, you know, everywhere I've gone, I've always, you know, remained close with my friends and family back home. And I've always wanted to, you know, go home when I was away. So the excitement building up around my city back home right now, Cleveland, Ohio, between, you know, LeBron James and, you know, the Cleveland Browns making, you know, some noise this year in the offseason with trades and draft picks and all that kind of stuff. I just want to be a part of it because it's my hometown. I want everyone back home to know that, you know, there's a world champion. And even though he's not home, he's still representing, you know, the city and trying to make everyone back home proud.
We've talked about LeBron James back in Cleveland. Johnny Manziel is, you know, making a lot of headlines as well and big things expected of him. Where do you think you fit into this renaissance in Cleveland sporting fortunes? Because it's a city, isn't it, that has had a lot of misery over the years?
Yeah, you know, I'm not quite sure where I would fit in at this point. Like you said, there's been a lot of misery. Not necessarily misery, but just hardships. I think, you know, we as people back home, it's a hard city. It's a hard area to grow up in. And like LeBron said, anything you want, it's not given to you. You have to earn it. And I think now is becoming a point for everyone back home where they're starting to see that, you know, there's success coming home. And, you know, I think I fit in right there with, you know, if everyone takes a look at, you know, the success that is coming home, I'm one of those symbols right there.
Kell Brook is from Sheffield in England, and I know people who've been to Cleveland and they've told me that there are similarities between the two regions. Do you think that, you know, having a background in a city like that, or an area like that helps make you the kind of fighter that you are, and perhaps also makes Kel the kind of fighter that he is?
Yeah, I think so. When nothing is given to you, you have to earn it. You learn the hard way. You know how to endure hardships and hard times. And, you know, essentially we are fighters. As you fight through those hard times, you learn things about yourself. You learn things about, you know, your heart and your soul. And I think that's, you know, why I'm the kind of fighter that I am.
What does America know about Kell Brook? He told me last week when I spoke to him that he doesn't think he gets enough respect from the United States boxing fraternity. So, I mean, he feels like he's coming to prove a point. What does America know about him?
Yeah, he doesn't get very much credit over here. Not very many people know about him. But prior to my fight, being scheduled to fight him, I didn't know much about him. So I do know that he's 32-0, and he's not 32-0 for no reason. So I expect him to come here and be prepared, and I expect it to be a great fight.
Your last few fights have been very impressive, and I want to come on to those in a moment, but I've seen a lot of Kel. You know, he's quick, he's powerful, he hits hard, and he's more intense right now than I think I've ever seen him. Is there any part of you that thinks, okay, I've got to be at the top of my game for this fight? I've got to be even better than the last couple of fights?
Always. We're always literally trying to raise our levels and our bars and not take steps back. And, you know, every day in the gym, you know, I'm constantly being told to raise my levels and be better than I was before. And you know, ultimately, that's why each fight you see me get better, because of that. So, you know, trust me, by fight time, I'll be exactly where I need to be to take on Kel.
The opportunity that comes with winning this fight is incredible, isn't it? You know, you want to retain your title and Kel wants to win the title, but if you're victorious, you could potentially fight Mayweather down the line. Brook would love a fight in the United Kingdom with Amir Khan. This isn't just about a world title, is it?
No, and for me, it never is. For me, you know, even though we focus on, you know, this fight in front of us being Kel Brook, we still want to, you know, be better. That way, when we beat Kel, we can step up to the next challenge.
I'm going to play you some audio now from an interview I did with Kel Brook last week, and I want to get your reaction to this.
Wherever I touch him, I let him. I think that he's been stopped in the amateurs, so he can be hurt. You know, everyone's making a big song and dance about him because of his last two wins. But, you know, we know he's a dangerous fighter. He's a strong, you know, a tank guy. But, you know, he's not been in with anyone like me who can punch, who's big like him, who can move, you know, and don't mind getting wet.
So there you go, that's what Kel Brook has to say. In Kel's words, Sean, do you mind getting wet?
I don't mind getting wet at all. I don't know too much about his personal performance fight by fight. I've been cut. I fought through that. I've been hurt. I fought through that. There's nothing that has gone on in the ring. I've been fighting for 18 years. There's nothing that has gone on in the ring that I wasn't prepared for and that I can't handle. I've been in the ring with guys bigger than him. Just to shout out a few names to you that you are aware of, Kelly Pavlik, Chad Dawson, Andre Darrell. Those guys are much bigger, much stronger, much faster, and better than Kel Brook. With that being said, he can come over here whenever he's ready and we'll get it on.
Are we seeing your peak years here, do you think? I mean, you were so impressive against Alexander, destructive against Malignaggi as well. Are we seeing you at your best right now?
I would say so. I'm still learning. I'm still trying to improve and get better at the things that my dad has taught me 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, blah, 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 18 years ago. There's still things that, you know, I'm still trying to learn and figure out and grow in this sport. And so, you know, at the age of 26, I'm blessed to have this IBF title. I'm deserving of it, but I am still striving to get better and improve and get more titles.
Is there one message that your father said to you that has really sort of resonated with you, that sticks in your mind, that perhaps during those tough times, during the tough fights that you've had, that sort of message has been ringing through your ears and you've been thinking, I've got to stick to that. I've always come back to maybe those comments that your father has made to keep you going.
Well, I can tell you now. Now he tells me, you know, not in a disrespectful manner, but he reminds me that being the world champion is not enough. and that I have to strive to be even better than I was in my previous fight. And not just the fight, but the previous day. You know, there are things that he showed me on a Monday that on Tuesday and Wednesday he's expecting me to do those things better. And I think, you know, him just pulling out the best in me, that is probably what sticks in my mind more than anything else.
Will you get a lot of backing from the West Coast fans? You know, you're a higher guy, but are you going to get a lot of support in California?
I'm very excited to see the turnout at the StubHub on August 16th. I've been there a few times, and they've always shown me plenty of love there. So I'm excited to see those guys come out and watch me do what I do and support me. I do expect a humongous crowd, and I do expect it to be loud, and I expect it to you know, affect Kel and make it hard for him to think, to react, to listen, the whole nine.
And it's outdoors too, which adds an interesting dynamic, doesn't it?
Yeah. I've had some outdoor fights. They're always exciting and fun to be a part of, so I'm excited about this main event fight.
And there's a lot of people excited about this fight and are looking forward to August the 16th. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the British fans?
You guys over there, I've met tons of the English fans over there, and they've always been very nice to me and very generous and gracious for what I do in the ring. And at the end of the day, that's all I want is people to appreciate the performances that I put on and the type of fighter and person that I am. So I just want to thank everyone over there, and I'll see you guys real soon.
Just finally, respect seems quite important to you. You're not really interested in sort of the mind game side of it.
No, I'm not. I do know this. I've always been a pretty intimidating guy to look at, you know, but as much as I'm intimidating, you know, on film or, you know, in person, I'm just as nice. So, you know, at the end of the day, I do what I have to do to win a match. And that's it. The trash talking and mean looks and disrespect, all that is just extra stuff that, you know, at the end of the day is negative energy. And, you know, I'm a positive person, so I don't deal with that.